Joseph Arthur and his Technicolor Dreamcast on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back. A bakery was slammed for Amber Heard's dessert box with a donut shaped like a hand with one finger cut off. They promised to send the severed finger to Johnny Depp. An Australian bakery called Desert Boxes took some heat for a desert box that poked fun at the ongoing defamation trial between actors and former spouse Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. The desert box in question featured a donut that was made in the shape of a hand with one finger raised, which staffers at the bakery then cut off with a vodka bottle. Wow, they're really committed. They cut it off with a vodka bottle. In a video shared on TikTok, they promised to send the hand to Heard. They held back the severed finger, which they said they would send to Depp separately. We're sending Amber Heard a desert box, someone said on the video. We cut off the finger with a vodka bottle and we'll throw that in for her too. Holding up the severed donut finger, the voice adds, and we'll send Johnny Depp this piece. It's interesting, this Johnny Depp and Amber Heard situation. I think it's kind of important in a lot of weird ways. I mean, it's the best soap opera on television and it's real. Of course, it's something a lot of us are indulging in, but it also might end up being the death of the smear campaign, because in years past, people that claimed abuse basically just got believed, and you know, the whole Me Too, believe all women. But you know, human beings are human beings, and whatever gender is capable of diabolical thinking and strange behaviors, and you know, that's why you can't really classify people in by gender or by race or anything. We're all capable of great things and we're all capable of destruction. But this could be the death of the smear campaign, because I feel like we're all becoming educated on narcissistic personality disorder style relationships and gaslighting and cognitive dissonance and abuse tactics that we as a culture really didn't know about before. I remember going to therapy after being out of one of these relationships about 5 years ago or so. And my therapist I was seeing in New York City, like in Soho, didn't know what the term gaslighting was. This was about 5 years ago. Now that term is known all over the world. Everyone knows what gaslighting is. And we're all victims of it in our culture. With COVID, we've been gaslit. With inflation, we're being gaslit. We're being gaslit in a number of ways. I mean, Dr. Bob would disagree, but I think he's wrong. So it's interesting the way that this will change the dynamics of how we perceive smear campaigns, how we perceive spousal abuse. And we're all up-leveling our understanding through the lens of Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. It'll be interesting to see if he prevails in the defamation case, because the thing is, when you're involved in a toxic relationship like that, you do end up becoming abusive. Just, you know, it's like the rotten apple thing. Maybe she instigated it, but you sink to who you're with, or you rise to who you're with. So make sure you're with good people out there, everybody. And if you go to a donut shop in Australia, see if you can't get a severed hand donut. We'll be right back with Trevor Fitzgibbon on TNT.
Digging deeper into the news.
It's the topics that matter to me.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Trevor Fitzgibbon is my friend and a friend of America and the world. He hosts freedom festivals and brings us all together to champion freedom. Trevor Fitzgibbon is my friend and a host of the world, giving chord to voices of freedom. It's Trevor Fitzgibbon. What's going on, Trevor?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thanks for that intro, man. That I haven't had an intro like that since never. That's awesome.
Well, you're very welcome. Talk to me about this thing you sent me with the pilots and what's going on there. That's an interesting article that you sent me about. I think it's something you're involved in with the pilots and their safety concerns regarding the COVID-19 vaccine.
Yeah, it's really phenomenal. Essentially, thousands of pilots around the world, from, you know, comprised of of 30 or no, of 90 global airline companies. And we're talking like
30 global.
Yeah. Like American Airlines, Delta, et cetera. They have banded together and sent a letter to the FAA, as well as, you know, those kind of administrative, bodies around the world and other countries, the equivalent of the Federal Aviation Administration, the equivalent of that. And they're raising hell, essentially saying that because of the COVID protocols, because of the mandates, the mandates of forced vaccinations, you know, there were several problems, several things happened, you know, in regards to the decline of the airline industry and people needlessly being forced out of work because they wouldn't comply with the mandates. But now they say the real problem that you've got is on a global scale, the amount of vaccine injured pilots,
right,
who it is not safe to be flying right now on a massive global scale the way we used to. And, you know, these guys have, like, you know, been going at it with the FAA and these agencies now for a while. Like, you know, they're always sending letters, you know, every step of the way. But now it's just kind of like you reap what you sow. And of course, you know, Steve Kirsch very correctly and wise, he's the head of the Vaccine Safety Research Foundation. He immediately issued a response, or where he's calling on the Biden administration and the FAA to have, you know, basically all U.S. pilots, all U.S. based pilots have to have, you know, cardiac testing. People need to be screened for testing, medical testing and medical screening to make sure that these guys are cleared to fly. Because the last thing you, and the other thing he said, which is great, he said, we also need to have total transparency. The public has a right to know what the test results are and what percentage of pilots can't fly, right? So don't just keep that stuff to yourself and like change it, right? Mm-hmm. And we'll see what happens. He has a big interview tomorrow with the wonderful Cheryl Atkinson for Full Measure. And she's one of the best, you know, she, Lara Logan, you, some of the best out there, you know, as far as truth tellers in the media
world. Thanks for throwing me in the mix, Trevor.
Oh, yeah. That's what I do. Dude. So,
that is what you do. Listen, let me ask you this. What's the, I mean, this guy, Steve Kirsch, he's tireless, right? I mean, just.
It's insanity.
He's tireless with this. It's unbelievable. It's just, he has, you know, found.
He has like purpose. 11 degrees. He has like 11 degrees from MIT. He didn't know what to do.
I read today he made like over $200 million. Dude's sitting on over 200 milli. I mean, he could be on a beach. He could own the beach. Right. This guy doesn't need to be doing this.
Right. Instead, he's trying to like make sure the vaccines are safe.
Yeah, and taking a lot of heat for it. I was trying to look him up on Twitter today, and I couldn't find him, so I guess he got banned again or something.
Yeah, he's gone. So
let me ask you this, though. So he writes this, he immediately, and he's such a smart guy, so he immediately writes this thing that, like, we need pilots to get tested. That just makes tons of sense, but what's the response he gets? I mean, people are just in such deep denial that there's anything going on. I mean, it's like, it's crazy. It's like, you, sometimes when you talk to somebody who's just not involved in the search for the truth around this stuff, it's just like you're talking to somebody who doesn't really perceive these issues at all. It's really wild. And so I'm assuming he gets met with a brick wall, but tell me what the response is.
Okay, well, first of all, I totally agree with you. But here's the thing. you know, if you're just talking to somebody that doesn't have real sweat in the game in regards to the specific that you're speaking of, like this with the pilots and the lack of pilots, and the ability for on a global scale for airlines to restore, you know, safe flights, right? Which right now they don't have. That's a major economic thing, right? Like, I mean, the number of the amount of money, the number of jobs, it's crazy. So, and this is where I was talking to my friend about it. This is where, you know, the propaganda smear campaign, the information operations, where they kind of run into problems, you know, and I'm talking about, for example, you know, the information operation on COVID and, you know, to smear people who are critical of the vaccine, et cetera, whether or not you're pro-vax or not, you know, I mean, it's just been insane. The amount of people who have been deplatformed, or you can't say one thing about it. You know, you're the devil. So this is where they run into problems, right? Cause they can have that smear campaign all they want. But when, you know, that runs into a dead end when it runs up against people facts. Dying.
Yeah.
And facts.
Well, exactly.
And not enough pilots, right? Because they're sick and they can't pass tests to fly. That's where the rubber hits the road. And so I think we're at this place right now, just as a society at a global level, where, you know, this has been literally one of the first times, you know, this is like the test ground to try a truly global information operation, as opposed to, like, you know, stuff in the past where it's just been, you know, whether it was Iraq or Afghanistan, you know, like to control nation states and the way people think. This is the first time they've attempted to do it on a global scale. But I think what you're going to have is, because they never dealt with the reality of the disease, they never dealt with the reality of the injuries. They thought they could just sweep it under the rug. And now, like, the chickens have come home to roost. And I think all around the world, you're going to see situations such as the pilots and the Federal Aviation Administration, governments realizing that they fucked up and that there is a real problem. And so I think guys like Kirsch are gonna, to a certain degree, be exonerated at some point. And I think that's a big deal. I think a lot of people already know it. A lot of people already realize it, right? But they don't want to fucking admit to it. They don't want to admit to it.
It's hard not to. It's hard. It's hard to not know at this point, it would seem. But it's there's still people out there that, you know, their head is entirely buried in the sand over it, and just it's real disconcerting when you run up against it. It's just like, really, you know.
Well,
but
yeah, when people. There have been times in my life where people believed one thing and then realized that they were wrong. And when it's at a very deep level, profound level, people don't know how to handle it. And so one would think that they would be maybe remorseful and apologetic and whatever. And in actuality, people don't know how to handle it. And so they just kind of dig back into their camps and they die with these regrets. God, it's just pathetic, but that's true.
That's deep. You went real deep on that. So, I mean,
does that make sense?
Kirsch? Yeah, no, that makes all the sense in the world. I mean, I think, yeah, people, their psychological health is also fragmented at this point, you know, like, totally. I don't know. It's interesting. So I think they do have to hang on to their version of reality, or else they're just going to, you know, potentially lose their mind. But did he get a response from whoever he wrote
that? No, I don't know if Biden. Yeah, I don't know if he's gotten one yet. He literally just put this out today. Today was the first time he did it. Usually it doesn't come that quick.
Yeah.
It has to go to the administration. I know all those guys. Jen Psaki. It has to go to the administration. They have to sit down. They have to pretend like they care about it and get a policy person on it. And, you know.
So this letter from 30 global airlines and doctors and scientists from the global COVID summit, how powerful is this? How like it says for immediate release, contact Trevor Fitzgibbon. You're the guy on the case. How impactful is this? Is this gone on any news sites or, you know, are you rolling this out? Has there been any coverage on it?
So, Steve has a big interview tomorrow with Cheryl Atkinson, right, which is great.
Okay.
And, yeah. And she's incredibly well respected. So, but to answer your question just in general, because these are the kinds of clients I have, this is the work I do. I believe in it. Right. But it's always an uphill battle. To answer your question in general, most people won't hear about it. They won't know about it. And they won't because the media won't cover it. And the media won't cover it. Why? Is it not newsworthy? No, it is newsworthy. And the more newsworthy it is, the more truthful it is, the worse it is for our ability to get it covered.
What about alternative sources? What about like Del Bigtree? I mean, you're on this show
absolutely.
Right now. We're covering
hell
it,
yes. Like, you're damn right. Right. That, and we got to do that. You know, we yeah. absolutely do. And we will.
Because this would be up his alley.
Possible. Absolutely. All
right. We got to go to a quick break.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I said he's in Bath, England right now with a number of top COVID doctors, Dr. Malone, really? Peter McCullough, Dr. Corey. Yeah, they're for a huge conference. Very important conference going on right now in Bath, England.
That's interesting. That's my yep. home away from home. That's where Real World Recording Studios is. I spent many years of my life just outside of Bath, England, Box, England. So I know it well, my friend. You're talking about my stomping grounds. So shout out Bath, England. Yeah, we'll come right back. We're going to talk about Julian Assange. We're going to talk about Venezuela. We're going to talk about all kinds of good stuff with Trevor Fitzgibbon right after these words on TNT Radio.
Patrick Henningsen on TNT Radio.
No one has undermined the confidence of Western mainstream media institutions more than those institutions themselves, with the sheer volume of fake news and hoaxes and other disinformation that they pump out on literally a daily basis. But the difference between their fake news and disinformation, I'm talking about the mainstream media, the other major source of fake news, propaganda, and disinformation is, of course, our governments. The only difference between their fake news and misinformation and those that they're accusing bloggers of, which they don't have any actual examples to cite, just that they don't like the viewpoint. They don't like the vantage point of independent media. And their talking points mirror that of the Russian state. So therefore, they must all be in league with each other. What a ridiculous, childish analysis that is.
Patrick Henningsen on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Election 2022 in Australia decides on May 21. This is Senator Pauline Hanson.
My recommendation for my How to Vote cards is to put the freedom fighting parties first before the majors. We have put the Greens absolutely at the bottom of the ticket. So the lies that have been spread is not true. If you vote for One Nation, is not a vote for the Labor Party. If you vote for One Nation, is not a vote for the Liberal Party. You mark the ballot paper, not me, not anyone else but yourself. You put it in order of your choice where you want your vote to go. And I'll say you can mark it in pen. It is your choice. This is the biggest opportunity you have to send a clear message to the major political parties. You are over them, you're fed up with them. And those people out there, if you don't understand my message, please go and check and understand how the voting system works. Stop listening to the lies by the major political parties. Go and have a look at their How to Vote tickets. They've put One Nation last. Even Scott Morrison's put One Nation last in his seat, and so has other Liberal Party members of Parliament have put One Nation last and below the Greens. So make sure you know who you're voting for. Check out your ballot paper and make sure you put One Nation one. We're here fighting for your rights. And most of all, you're pro-choice and whether you have the jab or not.
Authorised by our Miles Support and Hanson's One Nation Brisbane.
Every 2 minutes, an American is sexually assaulted. The majority of victims know their attacker. It could be your friend, your neighbor, or someone you met at a party. If you said no, it's rape and it's a crime. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Call the National Sexual Assault Hotline today at 1-800-656-HOPE or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Honk for freedom, honk for joy, honk for love. Canadian truckers on a convoy from up above. And Trevor Fitzgibbon is working with the truckers. Trevor Fitzgibbon is working with the truckers. He's helping them get their message out.
How did the trucker documentary go that you've been working on, Trevor? Talk to us about that.
It's rocking. I mean, these guys are amazing. I'm have the honor and pleasure to work with two directors that are from Canada, Jeremy and Andrew, and incredibly gifted at their talent at film and cinematography, and being able to explain things in a way that the average lay person like myself can understand, but to do it in a way that is still captivating and exciting, but non-conspiratorial. So that's a tough pill to swallow, and they did it. And so they've got this film. It's a 6-part docuseries called Trucking for Freedom. And they were on the inside and invited in very early at the very start, and had a front row view of not what the media tells you it was, but what actually happened in Canada with the Freedom Convoy, and how the truckers really kind of were representing the not the salaried workers, but the hourly workers, and who were hurt and harmed the most with the lockdowns in Canada that were far more draconian than anything we experienced in the United States. And so it's a 6-part docuseries. We just had the first entry. Chapter one was entitled How We Got Here. And I was quite impressed with that. There's going to be one coming out essentially every 45 days, and they're about an hour long, and there's going to be 6 of them, and it's going to culminate with a big doc feature film that they hope to have submitted to the Academy Awards.
Truckingforfreedom.com, is that where people can access this, or it's probably not on YouTube? Yeah. I would assume.
No, that's on a website, and yeah, they have a YouTube site. Can you play it? You should play it for the audience. It's just like the teaser trailer. It's incredible. I can send it to you.
Well, I'm gonna interview the directors, I think, coming up soon.
That's here. Right.
I forget which day. So we will play it then. I'll get it planned, and we'll play a clip from it. It's fantastic, man. I mean, what an inspiring movement. What?
Yeah, you're right. But here's the thing, you know, almost right off from the bat, you know, right from the get-go, like they were just talking about having it, right? You want to talk about PSYOPs. The Trudeau government said that this was a white supremacist mobilization. before right. they even had the convoy on the road. That's what they painted mm-hmm. it as. And I think a lot of viewers will be happy to know that, like, the percentage of First Nations, you know, natives, like, took part in the convoy, you know, for the First Nations tribe. The number of Greenpeace activists, environmentalists, leftists that took part in the Freedom Convoy was massive. And the way it was spun in the media in the United States and in Canada was that it was a right-wing, you know, there's just this right-wing white supremacist movement. This is crazy.
Well, anybody that goes for freedom now just gets labeled that automatically. So if they were leftists, as soon as they're supporting this, then according to the media, they become right-wing crazy people, just because if you say the word freedom, you get labeled that. It's just, it's absurd.
Well, and you know what's really interesting about that, like, language, right? First of all, I just want to say, in the film, it is the most brilliant description of the vaccine. You know what they label it?
What?
Leaky. It's a leaky vaccine. Well, and that term, that adjective,
meaning it's meaning it doesn't stop transmission. That's what a leaky air quotes leaky vaccine. I mean, we got to stop calling it a vaccine, because that's part of, you know, the PSYOP as well. It's not really
that's
a
part
vaccine.
Of it as well, right?
Totally. You know, but it's leaky. It's a leaky technology.
Right. It's leaky. It is totally dismissive of it, right? Completely destroys it without sounding like harsh or mean, you know? It's leaky.
Well, it's just factually true. It's just that is what a leaky air quotes vaccine is. It's one that doesn't stop transmission. So it's just, that's what it's called. I mean,
that's what it's called.
They didn't make that up. That's what it's called.
Yeah.
So why every 45 days? It seems like don't we like to binge watch? Don't we want the episodes all available right away? Are they still working on each chapter? It says chapter one streamed truckingforfreedom.com in less than 24 hours, 1.58 million minutes of streams.
Yeah, that was for the first one. They but if you go to the website, you can get the latest updates. Yeah, they need the time in between. You know, they, it's not like these guys are loaded and you know, they have a really great way of I mean, they want everybody to see it. So it's I've actually talked to a couple of networks and media outlets here in the United States who are going to be broadcasting each episode on television as well.
What about Netflix? Netflix is kind of going, you know, against the woke grain, so to speak. I think they saw the bottom line. Obviously, this probably is a beat too far for them, but is there any chance something like Netflix would play this?
Man, you never know. I mean, it'd be
you never know,
idea.
Right? I mean, yeah. I heard that they're kind of going anti. You might as well, because I read a report that they're kind of going, okay, this, you know, go woke, go broke, so to speak. And that's what's happened to them. So they're kind of like saying to their employers, like, hey, you can't protest if we do a Dave Chappelle stand-up special. So they might be interested in something like this, but thank you for doing this. This is great.
I did reach out to Ted Nugent.
Well, I know he'd be for it. I mean, what did he say?
I didn't respond again. I got his email, so that's I'm going to reach out and see what he can do to support it.
Well, I'll tell you what, get him on my show. I would love to interview Ted Nugent. That would be insane.
That would actually be one of the, like, greatest interviews, right? Like,
greatest,
I mean,
interviews
who else
of all time.
After that? Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's the sky's the limit, really. But let's talk about Julian Assange, because I had Misty Winston on a couple days ago.
Yeah,
and
Misty's
Steve
great.
Poikonen. Yeah, she's great. And Steve Poikonen. And you were kind of giving me a little education. Talk about your background working with WikiLeaks and the story there, and what your take is on Julian Assange and his current predicament, potentially being extradited to the U.S.
Yeah, well, I'm old. So I was, I kind of came in like around the middle of when a lot of action was happening. So this was, you know, 2000, I was really active 2010, 2011, up until December 2015 when I was taken out. And so WikiLeaks, you know, I first started representing Chelsea Manning when Chelsea was Bradley Manning. And if folks recall, Manning was the alleged source. Well, at this point was a source for Julian and for WikiLeaks to put out collateral murder and a number of the other kind of the biggest, what WikiLeaks is primarily known for, the biggest drops. And Manning was put in a 6x6 foot cage, held at a CIA black site after they caught Manning. And Manning was on the intelligence desk for the U.S. military in Iraq and came across this stuff and realized how they were war crimes. And you know, tried to get to members of Congress, was blown off. Tried to get to some members of the press, was blown off. So ended up leaking the stuff to Julian and to WikiLeaks, and then was captured and held in a six by six foot cell, like a cage in Syria for about 8 weeks, and then transferred over to Quantico, Virginia. I had just started my own kind of PR firm at the time. I was working from my couch in this little DC, little house. And it was really like one of my first clients that I had on my own. And I was lucky enough to be friends with a woman named Jane Hampshire. And Jane Hampshire ran a kick-ass site called Fire Dog Lake. And Fire Dog Lake, was a radical version of the Huffington Post, and it really stood for leftist positions, great stuff. She introduced me to Manning's attorney, and he wanted to make sure that Manning could get PR and be represented in the media. And so I, of course, jumped at the job, and I would drive to Quantico every weekend and go see Bradley Manning, who is actually Chelsea Manning now, but go see Manning, who was about 5'2" and would come out in ball and chains with like four huge Marines that were like three times as big. And we would sit and talk through plastic glass for hours at a time. And then I would go back and try to get her story out into the US media. And so through that work, my mentor at that time was a guy named Michael Ratner, who was also Julian's US attorney. And through that work I did for Manning, Julian requested that to meet me. And so I went to the UK with Michael Ratner the first time and met Julian and agreed that I would do the PR in the US to represent the Julian Assange Legal Defense Fund, which essentially was.
And let me chime in for a sec. And at that point, yeah, you were, you know, like you said, this was a sort of edgy version of the Huffington Post, a left-leaning site, or so you thought. You thought you were still kind of activated for the left at this point, right?
Oh yeah, man. I was, yeah. I mean, I just started my firm. I mean, you know, I'm representing, like, you know, I was working with Global Zero, which is this incredible organization to eliminate nuclear weapons. We were working with Russia at the time because Medvedev was the president. And at that point, Medvedev and Obama were making deep strides towards getting to a point of Global Zero with, you know, they re-signed the START treaty, etc. And then Putin came back in after. But you know, things were going really well. You know, that's when I took on Ecuador, or took on Chevron, representing the government of Ecuador and the country of Ecuador, the Amazonian ancestor who lost their ancestral homes because of Chevron's record breaking violations of like just destroying the rainforest in Ecuador. But that, you know, going up against Chevron is tall, you know, Steve Donziger, the attorney who represented the Amazonian rainforest and the people and the government. And that guy, they tried to destroy his life. He was under house arrest. He was just freed like a month ago. Best guy, Steven Donziger. Everybody should go to that website, give him some money. He hadn't been able to work. Yeah, I mean, Chevron destroyed that attorney. And it's
what's
just
his
insane.
Website?
So, I think it's, let's see, freedonziger.com. Hold on for a second. I'll tell you right now. So I started doing work for WikiLeaks, and that's all I can really say. I just
right, that's when you read got somewhat, I guess, semi. You know, I hate saying this red pilled thing, but semi red pilled. I mean, because the environment shifted below your feet at that point, right? Like when Obama went up against WikiLeaks, and then all of a sudden, all the people that you thought were allies were no longer there, and yet you still felt this moral imperative to defend WikiLeaks and Julian Assange and Chelsea Manning, correct?
Well, I'll tell you what it is. I think red pilled is the wrong description.
I hate that. I don't like that term, but it's the only one that describes it. Go ahead, give me a better way to describe it.
Yeah, I just think that the people have epiphanies, and I had an epiphany, and it wasn't because of my work for WikiLeaks as much as it was working, doing the PR to help work with Glenn Greenwald to help distribute the Snowden disclosures. That's when it really hit me, and I'm just texting you the link that you can read out there to help
and
support
I'll read it
Steven Donziger.
I'll read it when we go to break, but go ahead.
So, you know, when I, you know, okay, before I started my own firm, I worked for this other progressive firm, this guy, David Fenton, brilliant, like taught me so much. I treasure that guy. He's like Oliver Stone, he's a national treasure. But I represented MoveOn.org and a lot of kind of left-leaning democratic-centric organizations, et cetera. And I remember when Bush was president and there was a whistleblower from AT&T who disclosed how there was this level of surveillance going on. And I remember, you know, MoveOn and these groups got together, and because Bush happened under Bush, these groups got together and they spent, you know, raised a lot of money, $1 million, about to go after the Bush administration, to hold the Bush administration accountable for this stuff. And so I remember, you know, I worked with my brothers and sisters fighting to hold the Bush administration accountable for 8 years, right? Especially the first 4 years on, you know, before we invaded Iraq and after, you know, after we invaded Iraq, you know, based on, you know, we did the Lancet mortality study that showed the number of civilian deaths, but also just the propaganda and the spin that was going on to lie us into war with Iraq, and worked my ass off, you know, to hold those guys accountable and to raise the truth, et cetera. So naturally, I'm on my own, but I still have all these folks as friends. And naturally, when Edward Snowden blows the whistle on the depth and level of surveillance that was now happening, I naively thought that everybody else, when we went after Bush on this, we were going to be able to raise hell and go after Obama or the agencies or something. Nada. You couldn't hear a pencil drop. And it's just been something that I've like, you know, now I feel like it's been thrust upon us, like the age of, you know, COVID and, you know, the blacklisting of early treatment and doctors like, you know, Peter McCullough and Dr. Robert Malone, who are Democrats, right? It is And Pierre Corey is one of the biggest Democrats I know. He's an incredible, famous doctor with incredible breakthroughs on ivermectin to help save India. You know, so like I'm hearing this stuff and this demonization of folks that are out there on the front lines, whether it be Assange. I mean, here we are. I mean, and there's so many examples. You got COVID. You've got Ukraine, the war in Ukraine. It's just, I mean, we've allied ourselves with like literal Nazis, right? Like, I denounce what Putin did to the 100%, you know, decimal. It was a war of aggression. He's wrong, and he needs to be held accountable. Having said that, you know, when I listen to the propaganda coming out and the talking points, the information operation that is running the entire Western world right now, that is coming from a guy named Joel Harding, who did it out of the Ukraine, the first information op there, and he did it in 2016 with the Madden massacre. You know, when the United States under Hillary Clinton and Obama went into Ukraine and overthrew a democratically elected government to install our puppet, the U.S. puppet, all the broken agreements with Russia that we were not going to expand NATO at all. And here's Russia sitting there literally with guns at its border everywhere you turn. I'm not saying anything excuses it. I'm just saying those are facts and the public should know about them, right?
Right.
Instead, I'm at the grocery store trying to check out and they're asking me to round up so I can save a Ukrainian kid's life. And this just happened. And I said, I don't know about a Ukrainian kid, but I'll give you some money if you want to save some Palestinian kids or maybe some kids in Yemen. What about in Libya or Syria? And the people behind me were actually laughing. But yeah, you know, and here's the thing that really gets me, and I'll get off this tangent. The Democrats spent 4 years equating Donald Trump to a white supremacist and to the most extremist organizations. That's what Charlottesville was about, all this stuff. 4 years to just do that. Okay. When it was all like, you know, bullshit. So then here we are with a Democratic president and Joe Biden, right? In a Democratic Congress, like people who know how to make shit happen. The blessing with Trump is that he actually didn't have people in working for him that could create policy and really make it happen. Biden does. Hillary does. And that's what scared me the most about Hillary, because she's more of a hawk than any of the Republicans that were running. But the problem is that, you know, Biden, after they ran Trump out, painting him as this white supremacist, here we are in Ukraine. Literally, we just gave $40 billion to a government whose military is infested with Nazis. Not neo-Nazis. Nazis.
Yeah.
With literal Nazis.
So it's just, but
the Republicans aren't even saying anything about it. And I find that just appalling. Like,
well, Rand Paul's a freedom fighter for it, you know, against it.
He's great.
Standing up. Listen, we got to go to a quick break. The website to help Stephen Free Donziger is freedonziger.com. That's DONZIGER.com. Freedonziger.com. We'll be right back on TNT Radio.
Bill Gates loves tyranny. Ever wonder what country is the model for the world to follow, according to Bill Gates? Australia, which led the most oppressive lockdowns next to China.
Is it possible to prevent the next pandemic?
Yes, if every country does what Australia did, then you wouldn't be calling it a pandemic.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
Yes, that's right. Bill Gates' idea of the way to prevent the next pandemic is to follow the model of COVID lockdowns, quarantine camps, militarization, people being forced off beaches, endless contact tracing, forced masking, forced vaccinating, one of the most oppressive lockdowns on the planet. next to China, occurred in Australia. That's what Bill Gates wants for your future. Now you know what Bill Gates and the World Health Organization have in mind for you. Be afraid, be very afraid, and then get angry and fight back. For the Morano Minute, I'm Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
Hi, Gemma Simon here from the Newcastle Jets for RAD. Playing any sport means setting the right example. And it's not just about how players focus and behave when they're on the field. It's also about their actions and behaviours off it. That includes things like drink driving, drug driving, and driver distractions. No one can perform properly if they're under the influence or distracted. So make sure you make the right decisions when it comes to getting behind the wheel of a car, and you'll definitely earn respect for it.
A message from RAD.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
The World Economic Forum's Global Shapers Community is active in 147 countries. It boasts of its network of young people driving dialogue, action, and change. The Global Shapers Community recruits young people to further the aims of Klaus Schwab's technocrats at the World Economic Forum. This is a program to control the world and eliminate individual freedom. This is a program for a circular economy, a belt-tightening economy. The Global Shapers Community started in 2011. It claims to be a grassroots network and offer youth-led solutions for change. But it is run top-down and grooms youth for future lavish leadership roles and promotes sustainable consumption for the masses to address a non-existent climate crisis. Future young leaders deserve better, such as optimistic vision of freedom, creativity, and economic growth.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And we're back with Trevor Fitzgibbon. And just like on cue, political attacks on me will escalate dramatically in coming months. One day ago, Elon Musk tweeted, and then just now I'm seeing breaking news. A SpaceX flight attendant said Elon Musk exposed himself and propositioned her for sex.
You knew it was coming.
The company paid $250,000 for her silence, SpaceX, Bill Clinton style. Trevor, you have a lot of experience with smear campaigns and whatnot. And what's your take
on
this?
You knew it was coming.
Yeah, you knew it was coming, but give us your lowdown on this.
Okay, so my first take is that obviously, if he did stuff, you know, he needs to be held accountable and all that stuff. 100%. Right. But I also think that, you know, we're in a situation right now where Silicon Valley and big tech, i.e. Facebook, Twitter, you know, et cetera, are literally freaking out.
Everybody's
because a guy like Elon Musk, who they can't fucking control, is about to potentially own Twitter and redefine. And not the big thing is that
redefine the discourse of the world.
Not just that, but he believes in full disclosure, right? And he already has tweeted out now that he's been learning stuff. He's been tweeting out what he's been learning. I mean, do you remember he was giving that advice? He said, everybody. One of the ways that you get shadow banned is, I've just learned, is that they do this. Well, here's a way around it. If you go up to the right-hand side of your Twitter account, click that, right, and do this, then you won't be a shadow banned. So I think that they're really freaked out because I think that they're worried he's going to expose all the fucking shit that they were doing. All of the oppressive, the surveillance tactics, the collusion between Twitter and the CIA and the FBI, and these thugs that work for private contractors like Redacted that have their friends on the inside of Twitter. He's about to expose it all. And when that happens, there's going to be a reckoning. And I think that Twitter and a lot of the folks that were colluding with Twitter to destroy people like WikiLeaks, right, or like activists or others that the government views as high priority targets, when really all they were doing was political activism. I think when that stuff comes out, potentially a lot of those folks, they don't have legal immunity, right? The agency does, but the contractors don't. They could be working on behalf of the CIA. I've got several of them that come after me every day. They could be working on behalf of them, right? But they don't have legal immunity. And I think that that's one of the reasons why a lot of people are freaking out. And also, he's just going to be able to redefine stuff, make it what everybody wanted it to be.
Well, and then also the other social medias are going to have to follow suit, or else they're just going to look antiquated instantly.
Totally.
I mean, they won't survive. I mean, you're going to have a platform of free flowing ideas and debate and expression that's going to absolutely trump, excuse the pun, all the other ones, like, you know, into the dust. So they'll have to acquiesce. They'll have to go there.
I don't want to, you know, I'm not pointing fingers, but when I look at this allegation and the timing of it,
right? It's suspect. Let's say
it's fairly transparent, and it also, you know, it really reminds me of dirty work that would come out of the Clinton wing of the Democratic Party, the Media Matters of the world, you know, the David Brocks of the world, who had developed such a cozy relationship with Twitter that they were able to go on in the inside and literally give Twitter the accounts that should be shadow banned and should be taken out. I mean, the working relationship between Media Matters and Twitter was unbelievable, and also Facebook. Unbelievable. And now that that is gone, they're like, we can't let this happen. We got to sink this dude.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch. This is the next soap opera on the hit parade after Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. What's your take on the baby formula food shortages?
I have two things to say. One, just because it's a cheap political point, but I love it because it's really true. $40 billion goes to Ukraine. Right. And we have mothers who can't get the formula they need, babies who can't get the formula they need. And that's
some babies
just
going to the hospital, too. I mean, I heard recently.
Yeah, it's just it makes me so angry.
Consequences for it.
Yeah, it is so horrific. It's unbelievable. And I think it's the stuff like that that wins presidential elections or loses them. And it's that kind of stuff that's going to sink Biden. I don't think clearly isn't going to run for another term, but it's going to sink the Democrats. That's for one thing. It also really, I mean, it's scary stuff. It's like, it is an example of what happens when you allow monopolies to control the necessities that a civilization needs to live on. And, you know, the idea that this big factory was making the formula for so many different companies, right? All under one monopoly. It's crazy, man. And just like gets taken out so that everyone's screwed. And so I think it says a lot about monopolies. I think that we're in for someone getting out so that everyone's screwed. And so I think it says a lot about monopolies. I think that we're in for some incredibly very bad, troubling times economically. I think the recession, I don't think people even understand how bad it is. You had diesel gas selling for $7 a gallon outside of New York City today.
Well, and you have experience with Venezuela and you saw what happened there. You did PR for that country. And so do you see a connection here with what happened there?
Well, I mean, payback's a bitch. I mean, Trump, you know, look, the U.S. has been trying to overthrow Venezuela for, you know, years, decades, right? The America does not want to have a socialist country succeed because it'll just basically out us, right? So America put in place these just draconian policies and sanctions against Venezuela and got the rest of the industrialized world to do so, and their economy screwed. But we've hated them. You know, we give through USAID, we give so much money to a lot of the right-wing paramilitary groups in Venezuela to overthrow the government there. Well, so now we decide to use Ukraine as a staging ground for a proxy war against Russia.
1 minute
and
left.
And with that comes a price, which is a lack of oil. So we, the U.S., Trump, and the Democrats don't acknowledge the president of Venezuela, Maduro. We handpick somebody else that the rest of the world doesn't acknowledge. And we're now coming to them hat in hand, begging for them to give us oil. It's laughable. All right, man. Thanks a lot.
Trevor, listen, it's been wonderful talking to you. I want you to come back. There's so many avenues we could go down together. You need to be a regular on the show. You're super fun, man. I love talking to you, and I love you as a person.
I was supposed to have a show, but I couldn't figure out how to do my microphone.
We got to get you on. Listen, we got to go. Trevor Fitzgibbon, you're the best. I'll talk to you soon, my brother. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to TNT Radio. We'll be back tomorrow night.